Good morning.
Today's Bible reading is going to be from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 down to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 down to 16. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints of the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of truth and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed and to and fro, and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the tricky of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful bluffing, but speaking the truth in love, may go up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together with by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its shares, cause growth of the body for the edifying of its love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Emmanuel. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be home. This is a home. This is my home. It's just good to be here with you all. Every opportunity I had while I was away, I mentioned you all to everybody, and I passed on the love of this congregation, and it all came back for me to bring it back to you all as well. I got to meet a lot of amazing people. I got to meet some of Brother Gary's teachers and people who he'd been teaching with all those years and years ago, and they couldn't say enough about him, and I likewise the same, because I wanted them to know how blessed we are to have Brother Gary as a part of this congregation. But they send their love, and I just wanted to let you know that. It's amazing how you miss this congregation. You know, this is a big chunk of my life. You know, I'm excited. You know, every time we get more people coming up, we've got new families again. It's just so exciting to see this congregation growing. And I want to, just for a short time this morning, I want to kind of build people up a bit. You know, God did not choose to have those who were so saved to lead solitary, lonely lives. We need each other. I cannot begin to tell you how much you mean to me. Each and every person in this room, I need you. You know, just being with you on the Lord's Day is exciting, and it thrills me when I can break bread and take communion with you all around the table, and to sing praises with you, just to hear your voices and see each one of you, all the gifts and talents and so many blessings that we have that God has blessed us with. We need brethren to stay strong. I'll tell you, I don't usually tell everybody my prayers, but there's one prayer that I can say I utter every single day. And that prayer is that this congregation remains strong, that we remain faithful. I pray for eldership, because I pray one day that we have men shepherding this congregation. That is my prayer. I mean it. I pray that we will have a building, maybe, of our own. So many things. You know, that's at the bottom of the pile, because the spiritual well-being of this congregation is paramount. Brother Gary's class this morning, when he was talking about, you know, where Jesus tells us to come to him. You know, these are difficult times, brethren. These are dangerous times. There's a lot of things out there, and I love how Brother Gary says the devil is in this room. He comes to church every Lord's Day. He's here today. He doesn't like what he sees. He doesn't like what he hears. And when he sees the stability in the church growing in this way, he doesn't like that. He's going to make it harder for us. But I want to encourage you, stay strong. Stay focused. Stay involved. Stay close. Don't go solo. Don't go trying to get through life on your own. I've done that myself. I've tried it many years ago. I'll just get myself through it. It doesn't work. We need each other. And that is absolutely paramount. Ephesians 4:11 talked about, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, listen to this, to equip his people. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. For building up, for making strong, for equipping his people for works of service to one another, to works of service in the community that we live in. And I want you to note that purpose of people with various talents of that time. Now, over the classes, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how some of these gifts and talents change over time through the teachings, what the Bible tells us. But it says to equip, providing what is needed. You know, when you go to work, you'd expect your employer to equip you with the things to do your job. Imagine Brother Gary not having a phone. Well, I've got a phone, but your job is to communicate. Or you haven't got a computer. We're not going to equip you with that, but we expect you to do that. And so we have to be equipped, brethren. We need what is needed. Now, how can we equip you? How can we do that? Through our Bible classes, through our studies, through our times that we get together. These are the things that we need. You know, the city of Leicester, 500,000 people. And you know God has given us that responsibility. He has said that is your responsibility, Church of Christ that meets in the city of Leicester. He brought us here to unite together as a body, to be united, to make a difference in this city. This is our workplace. And so he says that he is going to equip us for the ministry. And let me tell you, this is not beyond his ability to do. You even look in the city of London and you see the congregations in that vast city spreading out. Spreading out. You know, one of the things I note, and you're probably aware of this yourselves, that way back when we first started the ministry here in Leicester, I recall at that time, Europe, the gates opened. And brethren from Italy and Germany and other parts of Europe were flooding into the United Kingdom. And they were going around the UK looking for places to go and worship. And they were going places and thinking, ah, I'm not sure. And so they were going into cities and towns and starting ministries. And these ministries are thriving. You go around the United Kingdom, you're going to see the city of Derby. Remember the brother who came here? He worshipped here. We encouraged him to go to Derby. We found them a community centre and we gave them a projector and a few bits and pieces. And there's 48 members or more there now. You go into to other places around the United Kingdom, the city centre of Nottingham, where Brother Marcus's family worships. We have Coventry, we have Milton Keynes, we have many new congregations growing and thriving just like here. And each one of them have taken on the challenge that God has given them for the task that he has given them to do. And this, brethren, is the task that God has given us to do. And so we need to be equipped. In other words, we need to go to the equipping room. And we need to go get the things that we need in order for us to fulfill the tasks that God has given us here in the city of Leicester. when the body of the saints is fully involved in its work. In verse 12 it says the body is built up. That's how we become built up. And so I have a challenge for each and every member here. I always say that I will never step down from anything. But what we need is we need to all step up together. And so, you know, and I know Brother Gary would be the same, we wouldn't step down from our responsibilities in the body of Christ, but we expect people to step up and join us. Come with us. And even step beyond us, so that we have to aim even higher. But we as a congregation come together in that way. And that's the challenge, brothers and sisters, in this vast task that we are looking at. You know, right now we are brothers of this congregation looking for building, a church building. They're out and about looking, they've been viewing. We're looking. Now, if God wills that, that will happen and we'll get somewhere. We've got a place to see on Tuesday. Great big warehouse that we're going to look at. You know, we're looking at the Leicester Bible Academy. We're not going into details now with that. Brother Gary and myself are going to introduce that to you at some point. But we're looking at a brand new Bible School Academy in the city of Leicester, where we have partnered with Sunset School of Preaching in America. And so they and us are going to have this ministry that we're going to use there. And so the point is this, brethren, we have got so many things that God is blessing us with. And so we have to step up, we have to take the challenge, and we have to take this responsibility that God has blessed us with. In our passage in verse 13, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. You see, brethren, we're going to come across things in our studies that we may not like, and things that will seem contradictory to things that we are familiar with. But you see, we have to reach this unity through teaching, through scripture. And there are times when we're going to come across things and we're going to have to let them go, because the Bible is leading us that way. And we need to have this unity in the faith and in the knowledge of who the Son of God, and become mature. We have to all be changing. I always remember when the COVID was here, and you know, we was away, we was absent, we were kind of doing everything over the internet, and it was very difficult. It was a difficult time for each one of us as Christians. But I always remember saying that my prayer is that when we do see each other physically again, that we will all be different. Because we should all be changing all the time and maturing all the time, every one of us. And you know, you've got to ask yourself, where was I in the beginning of the year as a Christian, and where am I now? How am I growing and developing? In what ways am I changing? Am I changing? Am I losing some of those things that haunt my life and control the way that I live? Am I overcoming and conquering some of these weaknesses I have? If I was bitter in January, am I still a bitter person now? If I was selfish in January, am I still selfish now? If I was not being the best husband and father then, am I improving it now? We have to be growing and developing, maturing and changing. And that only comes through the Word of God. It's the only guide we have. You know, if you're struggling in your marriages and you're going through difficult times, then let us know, so that we can sit with you and show you the teaching. This is the guide that will help. Everything we need to know about our Christian life is here. Our responsibilities, our commitments to each other. All these things are from the Word of God. These are things I've used in my life with my wife. When we go through things, we look in Scripture and see what the Bible tells us. What do I need to change? How do I need to mature? What changes do I need to make in my life to become better than I was back at the beginning of this year? We have to grow and mature. Christians, we need elders in this congregation. Who are going to be our elders? Who are going to be the men that are going to say, I'm going to focus my life on that. I'm going to aspire to that. I'm going to improve my life. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife to my husband. So that unity becomes so solid. We need shepherds in this congregation. Where do we find them? How do we find them? Brothers, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to seek to improve and grow and mature in your life. You know, one of the things that I always remember many, many years ago, I was visiting a congregation. It was a long, long time ago. And the eldership, I was introduced to these elders in this congregation. They were from all walks of life. You know, one of them was just working. He was a bin man. His job was collecting the refuse, the bins, and throwing them in the back of a truck. You see, elders are not just managers and directors of businesses. We're talking about spiritually minded, focused people who have a desire to shepherd God's people. Now, how do we aspire to that? And Brother Gary, for many years now on a Thursday night, we have a leadership class. And I sit in that class every week. Let me tell you, it's amazing. Because the lessons are focused on leadership, how to become a leader. Folks, and the discussions, we have elders join us from Edmonton in London. And we have a brother over in Peterborough. And we get together and we discuss and talk and we study the scriptures, examine the scriptures and question our lives every week. These are the things that we need to be looking for. We no longer should be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. In other words, we haven't grown enough that when a storm comes, we're long gone. The storm will take you out. And so we have to be stable as Christians in this congregation. Brothers, I encourage you, please, to focus on your homes, focus on the way that you're living, focus on your families, and focus on the teaching. Get that teaching and learn and adapt and apply these things to your life so that you grow and mature and no longer become an infant, tossed back and forth. Any brother in here could aspire to be an elder. If that desire is there for them, if God wills it, then they're willing. Through the teaching of God's amazing word, we need to be reaching the unity in the faith and the knowledge of who the Son of God. Becoming mature man, no longer infants. The unity of faith is the bond that exists amongst all who are dear to the one divine revelation, the one truth. That is our bond. Our bond is found not through friendship. Our bond is not found through fellowship dinners or parties or socializing. That's part of our relationship as human beings and as Christians. But our bond is found in the Word of God. That is what cements us. What keeps us united, brethren, is when we all aspire to the same thing. It's the one gospel, the one teaching, the one truth. And so it is that truth that will bond us together and make us God's people. Make us an army in this city that will make a difference, and God will be able to use us fully to His glory. Because in verse 15 it says, instead speaking the truth in love. What does it say? We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. And that is Christ. He is the one. He is our focal point. He is the one that we focus ourselves on. And so we can help each other. We can help each other grow, but we have to speak the truth in love. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. And Brother Gary had mentioned that in our class. We don't want to hear it. Don't tell me that my Christian life isn't right. Don't tell me that I've got a weakness in my life. Don't tell me that I've got a bad attitude. Or don't tell me that I'm not faithful enough or I'm not studying my Bible enough. I don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. But we need to. We need that. Because there will be times that you will hear things you will not like. You know, even in our classes, you know, sometimes we hear things and you think, oh, man. Not that subject again. But do you know God has a way of making sure that he gets his message out so we listen and grow and learn? And so we need to listen to the truth. If it comes from here, it's not a lie. That's a fact. That is why you'll hear teachers here say book, chapter and verse. Don't stand here just talking. We want to know from here, where do these things come from? What are these verses that you are reading to me? And so as God's people become mature, it enables us to speak the truth. Because maturity brings us the ability to speak the truth. How easy is it when you can go to somebody and say, listen, he says in the scriptures, and you read it to them, and they say, wow, okay, that struck a nerve, but I understand. Something to pray about, something to want to grow up into. Him who is the head, that is Christ. And the body builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Brethren, it says in verse 16 of the passage that from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. You see that? Every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I tell you, you go home this afternoon, take your little finger and get a little hammer and give it a tap. You'll feel it all over. You'll be limping. You know, I always remember one of our daughters, Bethany. It was Bethany years ago. It was Bethany. How great I can use her in my example. I always remember Janet was took her to school one day and she was late and Bethany got out of the car and Janet was just about to drive up and Bethany slammed the door on her fingers. So Janet opened the door and said, are you okay? She went, I'm okay. And then Janet said that she was limping like this, you see. But she'd actually trapped the fingers, but she was limping. Her whole body was affected. I'm sorry, Bethany. Her whole body was affected. I can tell you something. If one member of this congregation is struggling and hurting, I feel the hurt with you, as we all do. We grieve. When we lose a member doesn't arrive for whatever reason or they've fallen away, the pain is unbearable. Why is that? We are united and linked together by every supporting ligament. There is not one role in this congregation that is not important to God and is not vital to us. And you may just be the smile or you may be just the handshake. You know, we've said before, this pulpit is not the main responsibility. This isn't the job. This is just one of many tasks. But each and every person, our sisters gather around this table on a Sunday morning preparing our communion. Our brothers who prepare to present the thoughts around the communion. Our song leaders sitting in their homes preparing the songs ready to make sure that our worship is an acceptable one. And making sure they lead the service in such a way. For those who put the chairs out, for those who set up the classrooms, for our Sunday school teachers who spend their Saturdays preparing classes to teach our children the Word of God. Whatever your responsibility, listen, mothers, just getting your children ready on the Lord's Day and bringing them here is an amazing, amazing gift. I've seen it. 7 children in our house. I've seen my wife busy getting all ready and trying to keep herself calm so that when she gets to worship on Sunday, she can worship God. Sometimes it's hard. You know, when your kids are playing up, you know, it's hard. You see, we have many gifts in this congregation, and each and every member of this congregation is vital and critical to the kingdom and the work. Ephesians 4:22 says this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Do you see how the devil works? To be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, our new being, our new beginning, our united identity. You know, somebody once said, have you ever seen Jesus Christ? And of course, we could say, well, physically, no. I've not seen him. But one thing we should be able to do is see Christ in each other. And so I can look around this room and say, I see pieces of Christ in this room, in different ways, in different formats, by the way that we are told to be like Christ. And so the world should see that. When the members of the church come together, things were to be done to build up and strengthen the church. And by being examples of living according to the way that Christ would live, we edify and encourage one another by being able to be united in that way. And so we have individual responsibilities to ourselves and to others because of our relationship to God. You know, on many occasions, more often than not, I'll use the example from 2 Kings 7, the lepers. I wear it out, but I just can't get my mind away from it. You know, because I always think of these four men with leprosy at a city gate, and I notice this, that if you look through the scripture, these men have not even got names. They're just identified as four men with leprosy. They haven't got a name. And they're standing at a gate, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their life. And the famine, of course, you know, they go into the city, they'll die because there's a famine. They stay at the gate, there's no food, they'll die. They have one opportunity to survive. They are to walk away and towards an enemy. In other words, let me tell you something. As they left that gate, what they didn't know was that God had already cleared the way. He'd already seen off the enemy. And this is my point with this. There are challenges in your life, and you're going to be standing at the gate, and you are going to be heading off towards the unknown. And do you know what is amazing? That if you have enough faith and trust in God, you can be assured of something. He will clear the way. He can make an army vanish. What can he do for you? And sometimes we sit back and think, I can't do that. I can't take that risk. I want that job, but my mind says I want the job, but my heart says that as a Christian I can't do that job. Or I want to go to this place, but my heart says that as a Christian I can't. And I'm standing in this gate saying, God, what shall I do with my life? And he says, well, listen, you're going to have to go to the one thing that maybe you don't want to head towards. When he says that I will clear the way. And these men, on arriving at the enemy camp, find the enemy of God. And they have victory. Because liberation had been brought by God, and they were the only four people that knew. Four men with a disease that don't even have a name. And after some time of being selfish and greedy with the news that they had, they returned back to those who had rejected them and said, this is a day of good news. And do you know what they said? You're liberated. And I always say this, these four men with no names saved an entire city. Four men with leprosy. They weren't the kings, they weren't the princes, they weren't the soldiers, they weren't the mighty warriors, they were four men with leprosy. What can God do with your life? What a difference he can make with your life. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to take this and into your heart and understand that you are so important to this congregation. That each and every one of us have an ability that God has blessed us with to use for his glory. And we can make a difference. You may be going to something you're not aware of. You may be going into some ministry that you've never tried before. But listen, we have to have our faith and trust in God to know. What does the Apostle Paul say in 2 Thessalonians 2? May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God and Father who loved us and by grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I pray that God will bless you, continue to be with you. Let's stay united. Let's stay strong. Let's get stronger. Let's build ourselves up. Men, let's get to work in our homes and in our lives. Let's unite our families and make this body something that God can use for his glory in this city of 500,000 people. That is what he has given us. That is our responsibility. And to him be all the glory. Let's have an invitation.